Today, now, AI risks are back in focus as markets bet on positive Hormuz outcomes, but... Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. We're on this post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, across to Europe and Asia, and then Australia, and we cover commodities and crypto along the way. It's been another complex week on the markets, with the MSCI Global Index down 2.07%, while the All Asia ex Japan was down 5.22%, and the European Stoxx 600 was flat for the week, having slid back on Friday, while the ASX 200 fell for the week, down 0.7%, but lifted slightly on Friday. So oil prices are continuing to slump, with Brent futures down another 9.3% for the week. It was last at $73.60, while WTI dropped to $69.23, down 9.52% for the week. This despite further skirmishes in the Straits at the end of the week. And that suggests that the geopolitical risk premium has been effectively removed, despite the complexity of a peace agreement and the possibility of further kinetic action. President Donald Trump on Friday said Iran had shot at least four drones at ships transiting the critical Straits of Hormuz and hit one cargo vessel in what he called a foolish violation of the ceasefire. The US responded in a limited way, hitting selected military targets in Iran. Short-term, US Treasury yields declined, though, on Friday, with a two-year at 4.094% as oil prices fell following increased crude shipments through the Straits. Actually, they reached their highest level since the start of the US-Israeli war against Iran, but it is still off and then on again, and the question of transit fees remain unresolved. Secretary of State Marco Rubio wrapping up a Gulf tour that included a meeting with the Gulf Cooperation Council in Bahrain, again rejected any system of charges, saying international waterways do not belong to any nation state, and warned that allowing fees would spread throughout the world like a contagion. But market participants this week instead turned their attention squarely back to the high-flying artificial intelligence trade. As a result of that, Wall Street actually ended slightly lower on Friday, driving home a mostly steep decline for the week on the back of sliding technology stocks. The index of semiconductor stocks fell 5.3% as investors continue to pare holdings in some of the year's highest flying shares as concerns about the AI trade persisted. Still, the index has rallied 84% so far this year. While five of the seven megacaps rose, Alphabet and Nvidia closed down, but we note that many of the megacaps are now looking to fund from sources beyond reserves, which is a bit of a concern. The S&P 500 slipped 0.05% to 7,337. The Dow Jones Average slipped 0.09%. NASDAQ Composite, though, edged up 0.2% on Friday as losses among industrials and information technology stocks drove the S&P 500 modestly lower to end New York's trading week, even as healthcare led six of the benchmark's 11 industry sectors higher. For the week, the S&P 500 was down 2.2%. NASDAQ was down an even worse 4.6%, but the Dow bucked the trend and eked out a small gain of 0.6%. The S&P 500 technology sector posted a weekly decline of more than 5%. The big theme over the past few days was the state of the memory market amid major announcements and media reports centered on South Korean giants Samsung Electrical and SK Hynix, and the blowout quarterly results from the world's third largest memory chip maker, Micron Technology. This week's technology weakness began on Tuesday, after a ChosenBiz report said SK Hynix was reallocating resources and shifting focus back on the mainstream DRAM market. The news sent SK and peer Samsung sharply lower, which in turn weighed on the broader Cosby gauge and sent it tumbling for its second biggest one-day decline in history. The stocks rebounded over the next 2 days, helped by SK's announcement of a planned $29.4 billion NASDAQ listing. But both tumbled again on Friday, and that triggered a third circuit breaker stop for the KOSBI, and it sent the average to a weekly loss of around 7%. And on Tuesday, the South Korean bloodbath weighed on the NASDAQ too, sending it tumbling around 2% on that day. But on Wednesday, Micron delivered stellar quarterly results and issued strong guidance, with management indicating that memory supply constraints showed little signs of easing. Investors cheered the report as proof that the memory demand would outpace supply for quite some time, and that sent Micron shares up nearly 16% on Thursday. And the euphoria on Thursday was sharply countered, though, by a slide in Apple after the iPhone giant announced price increases for its MacBooks, iPads, and home devices in order to offset, guess what, the rising costs from the memory chip crunch. And that triggered fears that price increases would trigger a slowdown in consumer spending and create demand uncertainty. Higher price points could choke off discretionary technology spending and exacerbate supply chain friction as manufacturers adjust production volumes to counter stalling volume growth. On Friday, tech received another blow after a New York Times report that ChatGPT developer OpenAI was considering postponing its highly anticipated initial public offering to 2027. CNBC later said that OpenAI had yet to outline an official timeline for the listing, citing people familiar with the company's plans. And it was also a consequential week for the outlook for monetary policy, after the Federal Reserve meeting this month revealed policymakers were laser-focused on containing inflation at that magical 2%, which of course they've not achieved for some time. At least half of the Federal Open Market Committee members expect rate hikes this year, in part due to the inflationary impact of the surging oil prices. And key inflation economic data came in on Thursday, and that followed improving consumer sentiment indicators on Friday. The Federal Reserve's preferred inflation gauge ticked up slightly in May from April at both the month-over-month and year-over-year basis, and it actually matched economists' expectations. The 3.4% year-on-year rise was the highest since October 2023, and meanwhile, increases in the headline PCE on both the month and year basis matched expectations, with the latter posting its highest increase above 4% for the first time in 3 years. Despite the elevated annual readings, watchers of monetary policy reacted by marginally trimming their odds for Fed interest rate hikes this year and slightly added to their bets for the central bank to keep rates steady. The move was driven by a belief that the May PCE report was a peak in terms of price pressure, as oil prices have rapidly declined this week to levels just before the start of the Middle East conflict, and that's eased inflationary concerns. Gasoline prices were down 64 cents per gallon, or 14% since May the 20th. That's according to the AAA. So it is possible that headline PCE prices will see essentially no increase in next month's release of the June data. But the question is, how embedded is inflation more broadly? Minneapolis Fed President Neil Kashkari on Friday said that he was one of the policymakers who now sees some tightening this year. In March, I had penciled in one rate cut by the end of the year. In June, I changed that to one rate hike by the end of the year, he said in a panel discussion in Colorado. I don't trust Iran to honor whatever agreement has been made, so I certainly am not seeing all clear coming out of the Middle East, and that makes me cautious about feeling too good that the worst is behind us, he added. Kashkari also cited other factors other than oil prices for inflation. The inflation is being driven by supply dynamics. So whether it's tariffs pushing up prices of goods that we buy from abroad, it's the fertilizer that's been disrupted because of the Strait of Hormuz, and energy and oil prices from the Straits of Hormuz, the Minneapolis president said, then it's also being driven by massive investment, hundreds of billions of dollars a year in the data centers and all of the associated infrastructure that goes with that. Anything that touches those sectors, the prices are skyrocketing on those parts of the economy, he added. So yes, there's much more here than just the price of oil. Separately on Friday, the University of Michigan's final read on consumer sentiment for June showed about a 10% rise from May, helped by moderating fuel prices. Consumers' year-ahead inflation expectations inched down to 4.6% in June from 4.8% in May. The CBOE Volatility Index, which measures the implied volatility of the S&P 500 options, was down 2.7% to 18.38. And gold futures for August delivery was up 0.92% to $4,096 a troy ounce, but that still ended the week with losses as a stronger dollar boosted by elevated Federal Reserve rate hike bets outweighed easing inflationary concerns on sliding oil prices. Higher rate bets also weighed on other precious metals this week, with silver down around 9% and platinum down about 2.3%. The euro-US dollar was down just a little to 1.1386, while the US dollar-Japanese yen fell 0.23% to 161.74, and the US dollar index futures was down just a little at 101.37, but still remains very strong. SpaceX will be added to the NASDAQ 100 index on July the 7th, after NASDAQ recently eased several index eligibility requirements, including rules related to profitability, time since a public offering, and public share float, making it easier for newly listed companies to qualify. SpaceX, which debuted on the NASDAQ on June the 12th, has reported mixed financial results over the past 3 years and posted a net loss of $4.9 billion last year. Exchange-traded funds and mutual funds that track the NASDAQ 100 include Invesco's QQQ and QQQM, and they'll be required to purchase SpaceX shares to reflect the company's addition to the index. JP Morgan estimates that the inclusion could generate about $4.3 billion in passive inflows, providing additional support for the stock as institutional investors rebalance their portfolios. The accelerated addition reflects strong investor demand for the company, although some market participants remain cautious about its valuation. SpaceX's inclusion also comes as other leading artificial intelligence companies prepare to access public markets. OpenAI and Anthropic are expected to pursue initial public offerings over the next couple of years, with both potentially targeting valuations above $1 trillion. Unlike the NASDAQ, though, S&P Global recently said that it will not relax its index eligibility rules for SpaceX. The company will not be considered for inclusion in the S&P 500 until it's traded publicly for at least 12 months. Jobs data in the coming week will shed light on the US economy's strength, and it could raise prospects of near-term interest rate hikes, potentially adding volatility to a stock market already on the edge from swings in technology shares. Major US equity indices next week are going to be closing out the first half of the year in a pretty solid fashion, with the benchmark up more than 7% so far in 2026. But equities have had a rougher time in June, with high-flying shares of semiconductor companies seeing huge moves this week as investors calibrate their optimism over AI-driven profits. European shares closed lower on Friday, swiftly reversing the previous session's gains as a combination of corporate price hikes, a hot US inflation print, IPO delays, and escalating geopolitical tensions in the Middle East all prompted a broad easing out of risk assets. The Pan-European Stock 600 fell 0.7%, pulling back from a record close, fueled by robust earnings from US chipmaker Micron and Qualcomm as well. France's CAC 40 dropped 0.6%, while London's FTSE slid 0.2%, and Germany's DAX dropped 1.3%. British stocks fell on Friday following that Iranian strike and also the sell-off in tech shares in Asia, and that all combined to darken the mood across European markets. Heathrow Airport forecast a £147 million decline in 2026 adjusted core profit from 2025, citing weaker traffic expectations linked to the Middle East-related traffic uncertainty and higher employment costs. Britain's economy has fallen roughly 6% short of where it would have been had it remained in the Eurozone. That's according to Goldman Sachs in a note marking the 10-year anniversary of the Brexit referendum, an estimate that has grown from the 5% the bank calculated just 2 years ago. Before the 2016 vote, UK growth tracked closely with the US. Since then, it has looked more like the slower growing euro area. Depending on the peer group used, Goldman's models point to an output shortfall in the range of 4 to 8%, with robustness checks suggesting that at least 4% underperformance, even under conservative assumptions. The estimates are consistent with other academic work, with model-based studies averaging around a 5% drag and recent empirical research pointing to a 6 to 8% hit. Business investment stalled after the referendum and has run roughly 10% below peer economies, with surveys consistently flagging Brexit uncertainty as a contributing factor. A drag, Goldman estimates, at just over 2% of output. A net EU migration swung from an inflow of more than 300,000 a year to an outflow. And while non-EU immigration surged post-pandemic, the shift has contributed to labour shortages in sectors that historically relied on EU workers. Goldman expects UK trend growth to pick up from 1.2% since 2016 to 1.5% in the coming year, with scope to reach 1.7% if a reset of EU-UK relations, such as single market or customs union alignment, is achieved. And elsewhere, Deutsche Bank said in its report, again marking the 10-year anniversary of the UK vote, that the UK economy was around 4% smaller than it would otherwise have been, with employment lower and prices modestly higher. Despite those challenges, the report highlighted several areas where the UK has benefited from leaving the EU, including greater regulatory flexibility, an independent trade policy, and a stronger position on artificial intelligence regulation of financial services, and also noted improvements in the country's current account balance and continued growth in the services exports. Asian stocks tumbled on Friday after South Korea's benchmark index briefly triggered a circuit breaker for the third time this week as investors dumped technology shares following Apple's warning of higher AI-related hardware costs, extending a sharp reversal in chip makers across the region. South Korea's KOSPI plunged more than 8% on Friday, and that triggered the 20-minute circuit breaker as investors fled technology shares after Apple's price hikes and reports of a potential delay in OpenAI's IPO. The halt marked the fifth trading curb imposed by the Korea Exchange this year, and the third across the week, underscoring the severity of the sell-off. The KOSPI was on track for a weekly loss of around 7% as investors accelerated profit-taking in chip makers following Thursday's AI-fueled rally. Samsung Electrical was down 7.4% and SK Hynix was down by 8.7%. And they were among the benchmark's biggest drags. Local media reported both companies are preparing significant increases in semiconductor capital spending, adding to concerns over elevated AI-related investment costs, prompting investors to lock in gains following Thursday's surge. The pair ranked amongst the biggest drags on Asian benchmarks after their outsized rally a day earlier. Japan's Nikkei 225 also fell more than 4%, with heavyweight technology stocks extending losses after Thursday's failed rebound. SoftBank reversed earlier losses to trade around 0.8% higher, trimming sharp intraday decline sparked by reports that OpenAI may indeed delay a potential initial public offering until 2027. Japan's June Tokyo inflation data also underscored persistent price pressures, with core CPI rising to 1.6% year-on-year, and the closely watched core measures accelerating to 1.1% from 0.7%, which kept expectations alive for more Bank of Japan rate hikes ahead. Losses spread across the region, with Hong Kong's Hang Seng dropping 1.6%, China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 100 slipping 2.4%, and the Shanghai Composite falling 1.6%, while the broader MSCI Asia ex-Japan index lost nearly 2.9%. Indian markets were closed on Friday. Australian shares closed higher on Friday as investors returned to the miners after bullion steadied amid a broader rotation into defensive sectors on economic uncertainty. The ASX 200 rose 0.2% to 8,764.2, with 7 of 11 sectors in positive territory, and the benchmark, though, fell 0.7% for the week. Among materials, Resolute Mining rose 3.6% to $1.01. Westgold was up 3.4% to $4.83, and Newmont rose by 1.5% to $106.33. BHP edged up 0.8% to $58.99 as it reshaped its leadership structure ahead of Brandon Craig taking over as chief executive. The role of President Americas will be divided into North America and South America. And Rio Tinto rose 2.2% to $153.64 as Bloomberg reported it was in talks with Vitol to set up a freight joint venture. Investors on Friday pivoted into defensive sectors, including utilities and consumer staples. APA Group climbed 1.3% to $10.77. Coles was up 1.5% to $24.41, taking total gains this month to almost 15%. Technology stocks were the worst performers, though, tracking losses across Asia. NextDC dropped 4.5% to $14.06, and Technology One dropped 1.1% to $28.87. Financials were mixed as Commonwealth Bank fell 0.4% to $160.02, while National Australia Bank, ANZ and Westpac all rose between 0.2% and 0.5%, and Macquarie was at $249.36. Judo Capital dropped a further 3.8% to 88 cents after a record 40% plunge on Thursday as analysts moved to downgrade the stock following a profit warning relating to bad debts in the tough economic environment. And DigiCo Infrastructure REIT rose 5.8% to $2.57 after the property trust said Chief Executive Michael Juniper would not return from personal leave and had stepped down from his role as Chief Executive and Director, effective immediately. 4D Medical dropped 9% to $4.16 after receiving Therapeutic Goods Administration approval for its CTVQ lung imaging software. Market darling has rocketed 1,700% just in the past year. HMC Capital was up 0.7% to $2.94 as it received Australian Competition and Consumer Commission and Foreign Investment Review Board approval for its strategic energy partnership with KKR, clearing the final regulatory hurdles for a deal expected to be closed by Tuesday. Transurban advanced 1.5% to $15.39 after its 95 Express Lanes joint venture signed an agreement with the Virginia Department of Transportation to assess an expanded upgrade of the I-95 Express Lanes project. The Aussie fell to $68.99 US cents and was at 52.26 UK pence, while the two-year bond stood at 4.471% and the 10-year was at 4.758%. In crypto, Bitcoin dipped below the key 60,000 level on Friday for another bad weekly performance, as investors pulled out further from spot exchange traded funds amid growing anxiety over high US interest rates. Bitcoin was down more than 6% for the week and was last at 60,246. Spot Bitcoin ETS clocked a seventh straight week of outflows, according to data from SoSo Value, as investors continue to steadily pivot out of crypto. ETFs marked an outflow of about $1.35 billion this week, with outflows once again picking up after a brief lull over the past 2 weeks. The figures pointed to weakening institutional and retail appetite for crypto amid a storm of uncertainties and headwinds. Central to this was a growing preference among investors for assets with clearer fundamentals, especially artificial intelligence stocks. The sector has vastly outpaced crypto in recent years amid growing optimism over the technology. Crypto markets were also pressurized by persistent concerns over high US interest rates after the Federal Reserve struck a hawkish chord last week. Higher rates bode poorly for speculative assets like crypto, which traditionally offer no direct yields. On Binance, the world's biggest crypto exchange failed to secure a license in Greece that would have allowed the company to continue operating in Europe under a new licensing regime. The exchange said that users will continue to be able to access their assets on the exchange and that it will pursue authorization in another European Union member state. Under new EU rules called MiCA, crypto firms have until the end of June to obtain the license from individual member states, which they can then use as a passport to operate across the block. The regulation was largely aimed at reining in crypto exchanges, which European officials have long criticized for potentially destabilizing markets if not properly controlled. Broader crypto prices were mixed on Friday, but most altcoins saw a weekly decline. World number two, crypto Ether, slipped 0.3% to 1,579.80. That's tumbled more than 8% for the week. And XRP was sitting on a weekly fall of nearly 8% as well, at 1.0547. So below the hood, there's still a lot of uncertainty. I don't think the Middle East situation is anything near as stable as the markets were expecting. And meanwhile, there are still some big questions around the AI issues, particularly around the ongoing funding of massive capital spending that's required. In the meantime, well, the consumers are still under pressure from higher inflation and higher interest rates are quite likely. So I still think markets are overestimating the upside and the risks of the downside are significant. We'll see. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching and I'll see you again next time.